When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello.
Yes. Yes, we're here. Let's kick off. Let's go. We got to get it all in 3 hours now, right?
There's shootings everywhere.
I know. Your old neighborhood.
Oh, my God. Are we going to talk about that now?
Yes. Blake will be on later with more detail, but you can certainly fill us in. When I saw Benedict Canyon, I thought of you.
This was really one block from my old house.
Yeah, I didn't recognize this drive. And I'd be hard-pressed to remember the street you lived on, too, because it's been a while. You know, memory works.
Yeah. Well, we lived there for 14 years.
You did live there a long time.
Yeah. And there's this road, Oak Pass, which led right into our front driveway.
Oh.
All right? And we were facing like a T-intersection.
I remember that. You had a weird intersection there. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you go up a block, Oak Pass became Ellison. And one of the first houses on Ellison, this is like less than a three-minute walk from my house, that's where this shooting went on. Seven people got shot. Three women were killed in a parked car, and then four others were shot and wounded. Two of them ended up in the hospital.
Is this gang-related? I mean, these women are from Arizona and Illinois.
That's
kind of weird.
Well,
we know it's an Airbnb situation.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say it. It's a short-term rental. I don't want to disparage Airbnb.
It's likely that, though. It's Airbnb, or what's that other one, VRBO?
Yeah, that's the other one, yes.
Yeah. Well, because we still have friends who live there. When we got there back in the 90s, it was a mix of actually older celebrities who had bought in the early 70s. Houses were going for $60,000, $100,000, if you can believe. We got there, the houses were considerably more than that, but still affordable to some extent. And it was a mix of these old celebrities and then these new families, and we were one of them. In fact, we probably had a half a dozen other families that we regularly socialized with. All our kids were the same age, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. So we went to a lot of parties in the neighborhood. Birthday parties, New Year's parties, you know, Christmas, Passover, whatever. My wife's sister lived there for a while. So that was a busy area for families and children.
In fact, you had an old celebrity live next door to you.
That's right. We had an old actress next to us, an old actress across the street,
yeah.
A TV host and his wacky beauty queen wife was up the block.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was a couple of, I mean, they're really normal people.
It was a nice area, though. Nice area. I used to pick you up for work sometimes and check out the area.
It's probably
shady drives. And
probably the favorite place I ever lived in my life, because I really love canyon living. I really loved being isolated from the city area.
Yes, you weren't that far from Beverly Hills. But
no,
yeah,
no, you could drive. You could drive. You know, 10 minutes down here in Beverly Hills, 10 minutes down here in Sherman Oaks. So it was, yeah. it was good. Eventually, we had to move because the kids went to a school and all of life went down the hill and down the road. But it was good. But I mean, it was as quiet and peaceful and safe as you possibly could want. Really was. It was just idyllic. And when I heard that there was this triple murder, 7 people shot, it's like, oh, there's a story here. This is not.
It wasn't one of your celebrity neighbors gone amok.
No, it isn't our old friends and neighbors. No.
No.
And what's
I thought of that, too. I said either it was a wild party or it could have been a rental, because a lot of people are doing this now to make a lot of extra money. They could even buy homes and just rent them out as short-term rentals. It says this one can take, well, the listings are $600 to $7,500 a night for homes in that area listed on short-term rental websites.
$7,500 a night, yeah. Well, because when
that's a lot of money.
When we were living there, there was no such thing. But what I understand happened is some of the older residents died, and these investor types bought the properties and immediately turned them into hotels.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, if you're going to get $7,500 a night for a place, right. Well, yeah, that's got to be lucrative.
Yeah, extremely lucrative.
Even if the home costs you a lot and the mortgage is high,
so
that's still quite a lot of money to rake in.
So from what I understand is there was a guy in the neighborhood, and he started renting his place out for a lot of money, and I don't know what showed up, but it was a bunch of guys with guns, and these women were all shot up in the car. So you've got
it's a bit unusual to have 3 women be the dead people. It's,
yeah,
you know,
I know.
Usually guys, if they're gangs, engage in.
Yeah, this is,
I think it was an exchange of gunfire, from what I understand.
Yeah. Some kind of gang shootout, and you know, these were the women of the gang members, or who knows?
Do you have any inside information? Anybody used to know lived there telling you anything, or
they didn't know other than in the middle of the night there were a lot of helicopters and sirens and police cars and tape cordoned off. I saw interviews with some of the locals, and everybody just said the obvious thing, like but what they said is increasingly these homes have been rented out. And you're getting these wild parties, and you're getting people who don't normally live in the neighborhood showing up just for the weekend. Well, they don't live in the neighborhood at all. They're just showing up for the party weekend, or to attend the parties. And now, sometimes,
is that part of L.A. or Beverly Hills, the government there?
Yeah. You know, by the way, the news stations got everything wrong.
They did?
They kept calling it Beverly Crest.
Yeah,
no.
Why are they calling it Beverly Crest? I thought it was Benedict Canyon area. Of
14 years, I never heard that term once. Nobody called it
that. It's a good term, though. You're on the crest of Beverly Hills.
I looked it up on Wikipedia, actually, and the Beverly Crest neighborhood goes east of Coldwater.
Now.
We are west of Coldwater. Right. It's completely wrong. I was watching all the TV coverage the other night, and every one of them had Beverly Crest as the graphic, and I'm screaming at the TV. And I know some people in the newsrooms, you're all wrong. It's not Beverly Crest. It actually is Los Angeles. It's north of Beverly Hills, and they drew the Beverly Hills Post Office District into that neighborhood. So we all knew it as Beverly Hills Post Office. It was Los Angeles.
And the story in the Times here is calling it just the Benedict Canyon section, right?
The Times eventually corrected it. None of the TV stations did.
Everybody had it early on as Beverly Crest, and I stared at that and said, really? And Sean never mentioned it was called that.
No. I never heard that term once. The TV stations also, I mean, nobody updated the stories. Even at 11 o'clock at night, they were saying it was 2 guys and a woman who got killed. Well, no, it was 3 women. And by, you know, by that afternoon, it was 3 women. So they ran old taped packages. I guess nobody works on the weekends anymore. Nobody does editing. Nobody does rewrites. It's just all gone to hell. And what I noticed is, while the LA Times did about 117 stories on the Monterey Park shooting, right, and a lot on the Half Moon Bay shooting, it was hardly anything about this. They had one story. And every few hours, because I kept checking every hour, they kept updating it one paragraph at a time, one quote at a time. And then right before I came in the studio, it was the same story from 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
I guess they couldn't, weren't able to learn much.
No one seems to be, these police are saying nothing about it at all. No one seems to be curious as to who put this party on, who were the combatants in the shooting. They're all tiptoeing around this. What's the deal? I've never seen such secrecy. How come the other mass shootings got, 117 anguished stories?
Well, one thing they did say pretty quickly was this was not a random shooting. Now, you could have probably figured that out. These were groups disputing with each other.
Sure.
I think that makes them ease off on the story a little bit. It's not a crazed mass shooter gunman out there killing people randomly. It was a known shooting. They probably knew each other, and it's not likely to happen everywhere.
Yeah. I'm sure there was a lack of respect or a lack of payment involved. I mean, what else is it? What is it? It's some kind of gangs or some kind of drugs or somebody owes somebody money.
Often what happens is they have a party in an open house and they put an invitation out there on social media and I get you two warring gangs showed up and it's like, you're here? No, I'm going to shoot you. Yeah. I don't know.
Well,
but the women killed in the car. I mean, just sitting in the car.
Yeah, now how come they got it? Like what? They were on the wrong side of the wrong team.
I imagine
there?
Somebody came up to the car and just quickly shot all three of them dead, and then maybe the others who got wounded outside the car heard the noise or were nearby, and they started shooting.
This Airbnb thing is toxic.
Well, now I wonder if that's going to lead to calls in your old neighborhood for no more of these.
Oh, there's some cities that ban this sort of thing.
They do.
And
they tried to do it in my town, but it got a little too hard to enforce. So now they kind of have a quiet one. Because people found other ways to advertise their home and just keep it on the down low, you see?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't go with the major VRBOs and stuff. They went to other places popped up to advertise rentals. So
but,
people did some workarounds.
Look, and it looks like nobody does any background checks on who they're renting out to either. Holy moly. I mean,
if they pay cash.
Yeah, I know.
You get thousands of dollars
and
for one night.
Why would you inflict this on your neighbors? I mean, do you have any conscience at all? Why would you do this? And is this now going to be the scourge of all the neighborhoods? Some a-hole on the block is so greedy that they're going to rent out to any group of gangsters?
Think about it.
To shoot up the neighborhood at night?
For years, your concern was, the guy next door is going to rent out his home. But often people would sign like a one-year lease. Yeah, sometimes they were riff-raff. A lot of times they weren't. But now, short-term rentals?
3 days?
A party house for a weekend?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
If that opened up next door to me, I would probably lose it.
You'd have to move. And the thing is, if it's a lot of homes in the neighborhood, that means it's constantly going on like this.
It says here in the story, this idea of renting out homes really popped up during COVID. Because allegedly people didn't want to go to clubs or clubs were closed. So they started renting private houses to have their big wild parties. That's still carrying on.
You know what? Do it in a more proper neighborhood, all right? Not these neighborhoods. Come on.
Well, we'll see what Blake Trolley knows later on in the show. We will talk to him. When we return, you have a chance for money. We do. We're continuing to have the keyword for a chance at $1,000 in the KFI Cash Refill Contest. And this is unusual to say, we have a trifecta of Tesla stories. How's that?
A trifecta?
Three stories involving Teslas. And again, I ask the question, why is it important we know, like in the headline of the story, that a Tesla vehicle was involved? I still don't understand that, but we'll get to the trifecta of Tesla stories too coming up. Johnny Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
More hits than a Chevy, I guess.
And we got a big round of rain last night. See, it's not all gone. Huh? Or is it just me? Sometimes it only rains over my house, so I'm just checking.
Yeah, you've got that dark cloud that follows
you. The cloud just kind of follows around, right?
No. It rained on me, too.
No, it was pretty heavy for a while there. Because I was looking at the weather last night. It just said, there's a 30% chance at 4 a.m. And I thought, usually those storms peter out. But then I woke up to this noise, and it was a tremendous amount of rain falling for a few hours there. All right, so we promised you a trifecta of Tesla stories. It's somewhat of a mystery to me sometimes that they have to include Tesla in the headlines of the stories involving cars that are involved in something. I don't remember seeing Ford Explorer mentioned as much. Volkswagens, no. Okay. John thinks it gets more clicks, I guess.
Yes.
The first one is the crazy guy who was driving around in his Tesla, and apparently when he didn't like something that another motorist did, he'd come to a stop in front of you and get out and start whacking your car with a pipe. Remember that story?
Yes, that
video. At least 10 people came forward with stories that they've had frightening encounters with this man, various places in Southern California. The one that got a lot of news was the 2 freeway in Glendale. Turns out he was driving a Tesla Model X, which is the more high-end Tesla. So what a wacko. And they caught him. And we have to give a nod, John, it looks like, to TikTok. Because popular internet sleuth Tizzy Ent began sharing eyewitness news videos to his 5.3 million TikTok followers, and several people came forward with the suspect's name. He passed it along to police. They made an arrest in Torrance. Do I know for sure that's exactly how they did this? I do not know that, but...
Well, all right.
They arrested him at a car wash in Torrance yesterday afternoon. 36-year-old Nathaniel Walter Radomack. I'm not sure what he does for a living, and driving a 2022 Tesla Model X, unless it's a lease. He probably has a decent job. I mean, that's a significant purchase. His bail is $5.175 million. Assault for the deadly weapon. Two outstanding warrants for him. But well, they believe that they've caught the car basher, the Tesla driver car basher.
They also must think he has a lot of money, too. That's why they gave him such a high bail.
Or, well, he is a threat. I mean, he's out there bashing people's cars. Who knows before he would kill somebody?
Yeah, what kind of a screw loose is that?
I have no idea. I don't think he ever hit anybody. He just smashes your car and then drives off.
Just gets off on the intimidation of being the king, master of his universe?
I guess. And he didn't wear a mask or any kind of covering. I remember seeing his face pretty clearly. Well, I think I do. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, he did wear a mask. But you can see his eyes and his head, the top of his head. So I can't believe he... and he had like no plate in the back. Yeah, I'm looking at the video again. He was wearing like a black bandana mask.
Yeah, and I'm seeing a number of videos where he did not have a mask on.
Yeah, so... How long does he think he was going to get away with this?
I don't know. He's got.
But wackos some kind of, don't really.
No, wackos don't think. They react to whatever adrenaline charge they get. Now, yeah. Whether he's that thin-skinned that if somebody would it be because someone cut him off, or he would just randomly stop the car in the middle of the road and do this for sport?
The best I can remember, it was a mix of stories. Some people couldn't figure out what happened, that he just stopped in front of him and got out and started smashing their car. Other people said, yeah, there was probably some incident between us, which you could call road rage. He did punch a woman in the face. She had a black eye. This was October of 21. So he did assault somebody. Thankfully, not with the pipe, but still punched her in the face.
So what's this psycho's life like? These guys I'm curious about. I mean, how much damage has he done in life? How did he get this expensive Tesla? Because even if you're leasing one, you need some money for that.
And the fact that he rode around without any back plate, now a lot of Tesla drivers don't have the front plate because they don't like the way it looks, but back plate tells me, yeah, you're up to no good. You don't want anybody to know.
Is he just jacked up on meth? I mean, what?
That's what you said when we did this story. You were sure because he's probably some sort of addict.
But yeah, because of this extreme violence for little or no reason, something's got to trigger it. And I have found in my life when the few people I've known who've acted bizarrely, I later found out they were on drugs. Like, let's say they had tempers or they had erratic behavior. Then you find out, oh, they were taking pills or they were on cocaine or something.
That is often, and now even more than ever. The second Tesla story concerns the doctor from Pasadena, Dharmesh Patel, who apparently loaded up his family in a Tesla, drove north to Northern California, Pacific Coast Highway, and then drove off a cliff with the family inside. This was an amazing story because... they all survived. There was some hospitalization necessary. It was he and his wife and their 7-year-old daughter and 4-year-old son. The place was called Devil's Slide. This is Highway 1, about 15 miles south of San Francisco. This car went tumbling down 250 to 300 feet. Rescuers said, we don't see really anybody alive after this. This has happened numerous times, and most of the time they're dead. And this family survived. That's when we brought up the fact, I think he was driving a Y, and they have like the side airbags. It's really loaded up with airbags. They think that may have played a part in sparing the life. This guy's a radiologist at Providence Holy Cross Medical Center in Mission Hills. He's in the news today because they finally have formally charged him with attempted murder.
Although at the end of the story, They say the district attorney are examining the Tesla to rule out the possibility of a mechanical problem.
You know, that's why I thought this is the one story where I thought putting Tesla in the headline might make sense because of self-driving cars. And maybe the defense is going to be, I don't know what happened. It just took over.
The Steve Wagstaff is the DA said, did the brakes fail? Were the brakes working? Were there any other mechanical malfunctions that would have led him not to be able to stop the vehicle? We're having the car looked at from top to bottom. Well, you charge him first with...
Yeah, they said there was probable cause to believe the crash was intentional. And they said that pretty quickly after
right.
this happened. So,
but now they're checked. They're not...
They're not telling us what that is. What evidence they have that this was intentional. But now you're saying they're not ruling out the possibility of a mechanical.
Yeah, that's what's weird. Because usually you'd rule that out first. And when you rule it out, then you say, okay, we can do the attempted murder charge.
You would think so.
Right. But they did the attempted murder charge first and then said, hey, why don't we look at the brakes? Unless they want to just preempt... A defense strategy.
Defense strategy, which I think is coming.
And by the way, how would they get the idea that it was attempted murder and not an accident? I understand this is true. He did a U-turn and then decided to go off the edge. But did his wife or kids say, yeah, daddy said he wanted to kill us all?
Yeah, I wonder if there was any discussion in the car that led anyone to believe that daddy's going to take us off a cliff. That's a good question.
Because
it doesn't mention that. I mean, when the case... makes its way through the courts, we'll hear all of this stuff in detail.
I mean, they claimed it.
Because all the neighbors, they were a beautiful, idyllic family.
Yeah, it's always a bad sign.
It's so strange. Remember, he delivered poinsettias to his neighbors for Christmas.
I don't trust that guy. I don't trust beautiful, idyllic families.
He's
putting on a front, they're covering something up. The people who fight on their front lawn. I know they're real.
All right, now the third Tesla story is next, and it's a beauty. It's an editorial from the El Segundo Times. California electric car sales are zooming. Too bad they're mostly Teslas. At first, when I saw the headline, I thought, oh, they hate Elon Musk. But that's not really what they're complaining about. But John has, of course, touched on this many, many times because this car is out of reach for most people's budgets in California.
It's the same story for 10 years.
Yeah.
But these wieners at the Times won't accept it. I don't understand.
All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. They're on from 1 to 4, so if you miss any of the show live, it's easy to just get the podcast. Download it at KFIAM640.com. It's put up there as soon as we finish. Or, of course, go to the iHeartRadio app. We're going to the border at 205. Mark Krikorian for the Center for Immigration Studies will talk to us about the sleight of hand from Joe Biden and the Biden administration to make the media go away. There was another flashpoint where they were covering the huge influx of migrants at the border or illegal aliens. And then they kind of pulled back because Biden announced, oh, big changes in our border enforcement. Not really. Mark can explain it all in about 30 minutes on the John and Ken show. All right, so we promised a trifecta of Tesla stories. Here comes number three. The El Segundo Times weighs in. California electric car sales are zooming. But too bad they're mostly Teslas. And like I said, I saw that. I thought, oh, they hate Elon Musk. They don't want people buying Teslas. He's the new Trump. But it wasn't really that. They start off by telling us that in 2022, almost 19% of new vehicle sales were zero emission cars. That's a jump from 12% the year before, but 70% of them were Teslas. So because the Tesla is out of reach for many middle and lower class Californians who suffer the most from the dirty air in their communities, how is this going to help us achieve a more equitable and healthy California?
They
can't just be happy that more EVs are being sold. They're now worked up about who's buying them.
Well, because if you take out the Teslas, it looks like it's about 6% of the new cars are electric, and that's about the same percentage as the rest of the country, 6%.
Right.
So the big boost in California is the wealthy, and we have more wealthy than any other state in the union.
And I was talking about this the other day with somebody. This has become a status car now.
That's what it is.
The way the BMW used to be, there were certain luxury cars that if you had one, you're telling your neighbors, look at me,
right.
I'm succeeding. And now it's the Tesla. Oh, they're all over my neighborhood. But the three which is the low end. You can, but it's still $45,000.
Yeah, I know.
Low end, because they're saying if you want a Toyota Camry, that's only $27,000 and up.
Right.
So it's like half the price.
And the Camry is one of the best selling cars in America, because $27,000 is all people can afford to buy, and they tend to keep their cars for at least 6 years.
Yes.
Before they trade in for a new one. And the average car on the road has been on the road for 11 years. So these Teslas are the wealthy people who can trade cars every year if they want, or three times a year. And often it's their extra car. Because right. if they're family age, they've got big SUVs that they're carting the family around in.
Well, they say that you can get the Chevy Bolt and the Nissan Leaf. These two cars have been around for years for less than $30,000, but there's a supply chain problem.
You can get a
There are waiting lists.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why they're not selling so many. They're not making so many. It's just hard to get them.
But those cars are like motorized tricycles.
They are. Are they really?
They're tiny. They're small.
They are tiny. Yes, you're right.
Small
right,
little electric tin boxes.
You're right. The Tesla Model Y is a little smaller than the X, but it looks like an SUV.
But
it's called the crossover, so it's kind of a combination.
I've never drove in a Tesla, but I've sat in one, and it seems cool, like a spaceship. And I could see why every wealthy guy wants his own spaceship.
I don't have one either, but I've driven in them. You will never find a car really with more pickup.
Yeah.
It's absolutely stunning, but it is like driving a golf cart. You take your foot off that gas pedal and whoop, the car just whoop, immediately decelerates, just...
Yeah,
it's very difficult. I was driving my friend's car. It's like, you really got to get the footwork right, because it's not like driving a gas-powered car. When you slowly take your foot off the accelerator, the car slowly slows down. The Tesla just kind of, oop.
Yeah, that's why you
like a golf cart, if you think about a golf cart.
That's
if
what it is. Some of them are golf carts. So that's why you don't trust the headlines. So it turns out, when you look into the details, the electric vehicle boom in California isn't that big. It's wealthy guys buying the third car, because their wives got an SUV that they're driving the kids around all week, and he's got a gas-powered SUV as well, because I've noticed a lot of families have twin SUVs. Then he takes a Tesla just to screw around with, or maybe go to work. But it's not this revolution, and the problem is the stuff we've been talking about at least for 10 years. It's too expensive. It just, the average person can't, if the average median income in this country, I'm not talking California, but the median income in this country is $72,000 per family. That includes everybody per family. How the hell are you going to afford a $70,000 electric car?
You'd have to buy it on lease or buy it on time.
Yeah, which they don't. So they buy a Toyota Camry.
They
buy a Ford Taurus.
They mentioned the incentives, because they were giving some people credits, rebates and stuff. But apparently in California, it could get up to $9,500 towards the purchase of a car. But this is not operated well, because, of course, it's a California government program. And there are long waiting lists.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are not going to get in on that.
Sure. If you take tax money from people and give it to electric car buyers, of course you're going to create a market. But it's an artificial market. It's bumped up by $10,000 of free money.
But now let's turn to the story that goes along with this. Because we love these stories. It was a front page website story at the Daily Mail today. The shaming images that show where our iPhones, laptops, and Tesla cars really come from. The truth about Congolese mines where kids are paid $2 a day to dig for cobalt. Did you look at these pictures, John?
Yeah.
It is like they actually literally are there with their tools and devices. They're either digging or sifting, trying to find any cobalt in like this mountainous region where they're working. And it's all sorts of people. A woman is carrying an infant. There's an older guy. And there's a bunch of children carrying sacks on their back and sifting and digging with shovels. China pretty much owns these mines. And apparently the response from Tesla, Microsoft, Apple, and Google is that we don't control this. China actually owns the mines, and they hire the people to sift for the cobalt. We just buy it from a middleman.
Right. That is the classic corporate dodge. We buy it from a middleman. They know that the Chinese mining companies are abusing these African slaves. They don't care. They create a little bit of distance, what they think is plausible deniability. Oh, no. That we buy it from the refiners and the smelters. We don't buy it from the actual mining companies. We don't know what's going on there. We don't have any say in that. You've created the market for the slavery. You created the slave market, and then you're, oh, not us.
Remember years ago they made so much about blood diamonds, right? Diamonds,
yes.
That were,
yeah.
Well, apparently diamonds aren't toxic, but cobalt can do damage to your lungs.
Oh, it's not extremely toxic.
Barefoot children covered in chemicals endlessly smashing open rocks for $2 a day.
So you smug Tesla owners who think that you're being socially correct and you're showing off how much you care about the climate and the planet, you're poisoning these African children who are working literally for $2 a day. This is not an exaggeration. $2 a day, they're getting coated with toxic dust from the cobalt mines, and you're driving around preening in the mirror your silly Tesla, thinking you're me being environmentally sensitive. No, you're not. You're involved in the slave trade.
There's a chart from 2019, the world's cobalt reserves, and wow, the Congo stands out. It reaches almost 4 million. I don't know what... it's in tons. Way ahead of Australia than Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why countries like China go to the Congo to get their cobalt, because apparently that's where they believe the largest reserves of that material is.
You should go to the Daily Mail and see these photos. They have photos, an aerial shot, of what looks like thousands of workers all clustered together in this huge pit surrounded by rocky walls. And I guess they're all bent over, scooping up the cobalt.
Yeah, they're scooping, they're digging, they're sifting, they're also, it almost looks like one guy's in a river and he's got like a sifter there trying to see what he can get, you know, get any cobalt from, he pulled it out of the water.
They show a little kid, like 8 years old, carrying a sack of rocks on the back of his head, on his shoulders. Oh, and look at what's done to their skin. They're covered in all this cobalt dust.
Prolonged exposure to cobalt can lead to lung disease, deafness, and of course, birth defects and forms of cancer.
Look at little kids standing in this dirty pond.
No.
I mean, it's sickening stuff. Absolutely sickening stuff.
Yeah, apparently it's found in the rocks. So they have to smash them or otherwise sift through them. Wow.
Yeah.
It is pretty disturbing.
Yeah. But so you got the LA Times rooting on. Can you imagine the irony here? Rooting on the African slave trade in the cobalt mines so that we can save the planet with electric cars. Wow. All right,
we got more coming up. John and Ken show.
You see any editorials on that? You see any editorials about the LA Times admitting that they encouraged an African child slave trade for $2 a day? No, I don't think so.
Tony Kent Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. All right, we're on from 1 to 4 weekdays here on KFI. You miss any of the show live, pick it up on the podcast at KFIAM640.com or, of course, the iHeartRadio app. We'll be joined by Mark Krikorian at 2:05 to tell you what's really going on with the U.S. border as the Biden administration tries to make the media back off and go away. We've put out new policies and procedures to get a handle on the influx of migrants. Far from the truth. In fact, we did mention this a couple weeks ago, but Mark can explain it well. They've come up with a new trick so that people won't be considered illegal immigrants anymore. So they'll be categorized a different way. So when they come into the country, they won't be included in the official number of illegal immigrants who are into the United States. And he'll explain what they're doing with that. It's something called parole. It's coming up at 2:05 on the John and Ken Show. Well, there is, sorry to say, not sorry, but one more quick Tesla story. I'd forgotten this one. A listener just sent it. Apparently, a Tesla Model S spontaneously caught fire. This was up, I think, in Sacramento area. The reason it made news, this is Highway 50, is that it took them 6,000 gallons of water to put out the fire because of the battery fire.
An electric fire.
Yeah, 6,000 gallons of water were needed to extinguish the car fire. It was a burning battery, and it can release toxic vapors, so you have to be careful when you're dealing with that.
So let's see. Let's review here. We've got a Tesla connected to a horrible fire, child slave labor in Africa.
Yeah, the guy who drove off the cliff in Northern California with his family on board.
Yeah, right.
And the guy that was bashing cars with a metal pipe. They're very different stories. And like I said, they could have been any, well, some of them could have been any car.
Sure.
I mean, the guy with the pipe could have driven a Ford. I mean, yeah. And the guy that tried to kill his family could have driven. And it's a good thing he was driving a Tesla because that's probably why they survived.
I know. I think that's a
positive story.
I think it's great marketing for Tesla. It's like, you know, you could drive off the road and fall hundreds of feet, flying off a cliff. Everybody survives and walks away. How about that? Let's see that in a commercial.
All right. Well, you know, we love it when some of the world's richest people are tortured. And this time we circle back around to Bill Gates. The Microsoft co-founder and billionaire decided to go on an Australian TV show, ABC 7.30. I guess that's the dial position. I don't know. You know that the host is Sarah Ferguson. Wasn't she married to one of the royals?
I'm guessing it's a different one.
Okay. Oh, well, I gave it a shot.
Yeah, she was married to Andrew.
She was, yeah. Fergie. They called her Fergie.
That's right. Another member of Epstein's crowd.
Which is what surprised me a few weeks ago when you actually admitted you're watching The Crown. Mm-hmm. I was kind of surprised by that.
I was surprised by that too.
you were suckered into it, or
no? I voluntarily decided that. Well, my wife suggested it, and I went along with it. And I you know what? It's entertaining just on its own, but it confirmed everything I thought about the royals.
Yeah.
So I'm pleased to see that. And it seems that the royals feel the same way on the inside, but it's just too good a gig to give up.
Yeah.
It seems like they know they're ridiculous.
Although they say sometimes, and you hear them say this, I feel trapped.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you have to have this dopey life where you're going around appearing at ceremonies and making speeches. And it's just like, and they're constantly chased by the paparazzi.
Yeah. But there's a lot of upside to being a royal. You see how they live.
Yeah, they don't have to worry about anything.
They don't have to worry about anything, which is its own curse as you watch this thing. You realize they don't have a purpose because they don't have to worry about anything. And their purpose is just pointless obligations to appear.
Right.
And to represent. But there is an actual usefulness to what they do.
Well, we don't know why Bill Gates went on this show, but apparently the host does start asking him about Jeffrey Epstein. Hold on. I'll let you know when we're going to go. I have to set it up a little bit. I shouldn't have paused. That was my... Eric's very good, but he sometimes...
That's right. He's waving his arms now.
I should say... I'll usually say something like, here we go, let's go. But I... All right. Just to set it up again. Of course, Jeffrey Epstein is dead. We don't know whether or not he killed himself or he committed suicide in prison. But of course, he was chasing after young girls for most of his life. And he was assisted by some well-known people. There are questions about Bill Gates, who had some sort of relationship with. And in this interview, it's kind of also talking about Gates' ex-wife, Melinda French Gates, that part of the reason that their marriage ended was that she didn't like his relationship to Epstein. All right, now we can play this.
Now, one of the issues that's dogged you is that of your relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Do you regret the relationship that you maintained with him against Melinda's advice and wishes?
Oh, I've said that you're going way back in time. But yeah,
new audience.
I will say for the, you know, over 100th time, yeah, I shouldn't have had dinners with him.
Epstein had a way of sexually compromising people. Is that what Melinda was warning you about?
No. I mean, it's... No, I had dinner with him, and that's all.
And that you regret the relationship, the acquaintance?
That I had dinner with him.
And the relationship between the Foundation and Epstein, which
there never was any relationship of any kind.
It sounds like he's getting a deposition.
To reduce it to one dinner, I don't think that's exactly what happened between him and Epstein.
No, it wasn't just a dinner.
He doesn't say dinners. He just keeps saying dinner.
Here's what
I had dinner with him once. Why are you asking me this?
Look, Gates has a background in this, all right? Before he got married, he got his money, right? He had money. He was running Microsoft. He was known to frequent all kinds of strip clubs, right?
Yeah, I remember that story.
Right, and then he hosted parties where people were running around nude. swinger type parties. He was into that scene. Got married late. You know, I don't know what the wife did to earn her her position as wife, but he probably got bored with the marriage, had an affair with another Microsoft employee, and then started flying out to see Epstein. Now, there's too many people who went to these Epstein dinners who are rumored to have sexual issues, right? Not only Prince Andrew, but Woody Allen showed up at these dinners.
Clinton
showed up at these dinners. Kevin Spacey showed up at these dinners, okay?
Yeah, Kevin Spacey, yeah.
That's right. Okay, so...
That's weird.
It's not a coincidence.
That like people hang out together.
That's right.
Strange.
Right. And he had a plane full of well-known people that he would rarely take many times to his pedophile island. All this is documented, is real. Nobody's ever going to admit to it, right? I've yet to see a guy who's going to stand up and say, yeah, I lust after 14-year-olds. Even if you do, you don't say it out loud. And even if you did something, you're never going to admit to it. You're going to take that one to the grave.
What did you talk about at all those dinners? Oh, just business, philanthropy. Yeah, he was into money raising. Right.
What I'm guessing, the reason this keeps coming up with different reporters year after year, is you hear stuff. There's people who probably talked and they saw Gates in certain situations, right? But as an interviewer or journalist, you can't prove it because now you're dealing with slander, right?
Nice.
You're dealing with defamation. So you can't say, hey, back in March of 99, weren't you with 6 teenage girls in one of Epstein's mansions? Well, you can't do that. So what you do is you hint around and try to make them as uncomfortable as possible. And that's why Gates sounds so halting there, because he knows what he did. And he's worried that maybe she's going to blurt something out that's going to destroy his life, right? Can you imagine you're on live television? I don't even know why he does these interviews. I mean, there's no upside to this for him, right? He's not going to make any more money.
I don't think
he
expected that she was going to bring up this topic and may have been there for a different reason. Yeah. But
so I just think people hear stuff and they want to see if they can just get him to snap finally.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.